Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Today we've got two wonderful missionary families with us, and so at this time I'm going to invite them up on the platform, and we're going to take our seats up here, and we're going to have an interview process. We're going to see some videos, we're going to learn about these missionaries, and we're going to learn about what God has called them to do. So we're glad that you could join us today for this Global Impact Sunday. Well, on my left over here, or to those who are watching to your right, we have the Ziss family, and we're so glad that they're with us. And I'd like for you just to take a moment, Eddie, introduce yourself, your family, what God's called you to do.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. My name is Eddie Ziss, and this is my wife, Sarah. And we have been sent out from the First Baptist Church of Jackson in Massillon, Ohio, to the Philippines and Southeast Asia. We have three amazing children. Tyler, he's 16, so he's starting to drive, so keep that in prayer if you would. And he's actually the only one. When we were in the Philippines this summer for 2 months, he tried the durian. It's a native fruit there in the Philippines, and you can Google it. It's going to tell you.
I've heard about it.
So he was the only one that actually liked it, so he's a little adventurous. So Tyler is 16. We have Zachary. He's 9, and he's kind of our Lego master builder. He's always building things. He's a tinkerer. And then we have our little princess, Elena. She's 6, and she's just always very encouraging, writing us notes. I love you, and things like that. So together, our family, we are the Ziss family to the Philippines, reaching Southeast Asia for Christ. And I was saved under the ministry of the First Baptist Church of Jackson at the age of 30, and Sarah was actually saved right here at Canton Baptist Temple.
Amen.
At a young age of 6, 7 years old. So it's exciting to be here. We're glad all the listeners and watchers from Canton Baptist Temple and all over the world that are watching with us this morning.
Well, we're so grateful that you could be with us today. And this was obviously a God-ordained moment that you, being a local family, are able to be here for this Global Impact Sunday. All right, thank you, Eddie and Sarah. And we welcome you to Canton Baptist Temple. And looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about your ministry and about you here in just a few moments. To my right, though, you'll notice a couple here that's very familiar to the Canton Baptist Temple. And that's John and Priscilla Loss. They are sent out of Canton Baptist Temple. Well, I'll let them introduce themselves, but we're so glad that they are here and they are a part of this Global Impact Sunday. John, introduce you and your dear wife.
Well, we are Jonathan and Priscilla Loss, and as Pastor said, probably most of you would know us. I did my internship here last year for 6 months, so I got to be more familiar with the church. I guess I have some really long ties with this church. My grandfather has been a longtime member of Camp Baptist Temple since he was 19, I believe, and raised my father in this church, and he was sent out of Camp Baptist Temple as a missionary himself. So I'm one of those weirdos, an MK, as they say, and I grew up on the mission field, and God called me into missions and met my beautiful wife, Priscilla, when we were in college, and we got married, and God has called us to go back to France and to minister there. Priscilla has a little bit of a different background. She's a pastor's daughter. Her dad's a pastor in northern Michigan, actually the upper Michigan, and we're really excited about what God will do, and we started deputation this past January, so life is exciting, and we're looking forward to what God will do in the future.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're glad that John and Priscilla could be here. And I guess he's lumped me up in that weirdo category because I'm an MK too. I'm a missionary kid growing up in Japan, but I find a connection there with John, and we love both of them. Well, we're thankful for John and Priscilla being with us. And I know that often as I have used quote-unquote French words, he's corrected me on my pronunciation. I know when we talk about going to a buffet, he always says, no, it's a buffet. Or when we talk about croissants, I won't even try to pronounce it correctly. He'll correct me again here today. But we're grateful for this young couple and their commitment to fulfill God's calling upon their lives. I'd like to switch gears, go back over here to Eddie and Sarah. And Eddie, I know you've been over to the Philippines several times. As a matter of fact, my understanding is that you have visited several countries. How did you narrow it down to the fact that God has called you to be a missionary specifically to the Philippines? How did all that happen in your life?
So through our training, what we realized is that our mission begins at home. And when we traveled to other places, there's always a need for the gospel, whether it's France or the Philippines. And we just prayed to God, use us best. Where do you want us to be serving best? And we would have liked to been in Jackson Township. It's a nice place to live and raise your children. But God had other plans. So in the 9 trips that I've spent traveling to the Philippines, my wife's gone 5 times. But in those 9 times, God has continually confirmed that calling from the initial experience, from having an interaction with the luggage driver the first trip we were there, to the conversation we just had last week with our friends via messenger. God continues to make that clear that the Philippines is exactly where he wants us to be.
Mm. Amen. And John, I know that you grew up over there much the same way, like I said earlier, that I grew up in Japan, and I obviously did not go back to Japan as a missionary. How did God work in your life to call you back to the country that you grew up in? Actually, that's probably a little bit more like home for you than the United States is.
Sure, sure. Growing up there, I saw the need. And I experienced the need growing up in a small church where, like we said in the video, 99% of the population is lost. So you don't have Christian friends. You grow up in that kind of very dark environment, very atheistic, secular environment. And throughout my life, I really thought God wanted me to do something else with my life. I wanted to be a lawyer, and some of it had some very selfish personal motives to wanting to be a lawyer. And God, right around my senior year, started flipping my world around, changing a little bit of my mindset with what he wanted my life to be like, not what I wanted my life to be like. And it happened that I was already enrolled into law school and in France, and God was starting to make that call, operate that change in my life. And during those years in law school, God really sealed that call for France with sometimes some very dramatic events, with the death of one of my best friends who wasn't saved. And that was it really sealed what God had been doing in my life. Through prayer and through that experience, I really came to the conclusion that this was what God wanted my life to be about. He wanted my life to be about reaching those people and telling them about the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ.
Priscilla, tell me a little bit about how you feel about going as a missionary to France. Obviously, Jonathan knows the language. I'm assuming you're going to have to go to language school, learn the language. Well, how do you feel about the first couple of years there in France?
Well, similar to Sarah, I had always wanted to be a missionary when I was young. I was just super intrigued with missionaries that I met. Through high school, I studied German, actually, and that got me really interested in Europe. And I thought I was going to go to Germany as a missionary. But France came on the table, and still, people are very lost in France, just like Germany everywhere. So God moved me there. And as for the language, the plan is that by the time we get to France, I'll have a good foundation so I won't have to go to language school, because he already knows the language. We went through Rosetta Stone, and that's a really good program, just getting you used to speaking the language, hearing it. It's a lot of like matching pictures. And now I'm going through a grammar book, which is really helpful. I sit down, read the lesson, do the exercise. He sits down with me. We go through it. He corrects it. If there's anything that he doesn't know, we'll Skype his parents, ask them about the rules. So hopefully, by the time we get there, I'll have a good grasp.
Now, are you speaking some French in the household? What language do you use in the house?
We use English. Should do more French.
Well, that's exciting to know that God has given both of you a peace about what he's called you to do. And I want to ask the same question over here to Sarah. I know John and Priscilla don't have any children. You have 3. How do you feel about taking your family to a third world country like the Philippines?
Well, we actually had a great opportunity this past summer to take the kids for 2 months, and they did absolutely wonderful. And the kids integrated into the culture very well. Our kids are really friendly, so we actually had to kind of have them, held back a little bit, because the things are different. But they did very well. We actually, God felt it was very important for us to experience the hospitals and things. Actually, I had my gallbladder removed in the Philippines.
Wow.
So we got to just explore the medical field and the hospitals and the things they have to offer. So it actually gave me great comfort. So if anything was to happen with the kids there, then it'd be okay.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you're going to go about to start a church there in the Philippines.
So we actually, through the summer and then at our recent trip there, we had a great opportunity just to kind of spy out the land and found a great strategic place right in the center of Tagum City. That'll help people to be able to come through public transportation or motorbike or walking even because of its central location. We have a great opportunity with the public school systems, the elderly home for the aged. We have great opportunities with the police department, the fire department. So to be able to go in, we've already been invited for when we do come. To be having Bible studies and hold, discipleship meetings. So that'll be our plan, how we start.
John and Priscilla, I know that John's parents are there. Is the plan initially to work with them a little bit and to learn, for especially Priscilla, more about the culture and the language? What is the plan?
Yeah, so the plan is for our first term to be ministering alongside my parents in the city of Laguignol, where Priscilla will be able to get a better grasp on the culture, get a better grasp on the language. We thought it'd be wiser to proceed that way than to go into a new area, plant a church where I would be really committed time-wise, and I wouldn't be spending as much time to help her adapt to the country. So we figured that was a good way for her to adapt and for me to also be ministering and gaining some experience there.
Good. Good. I know in both countries, really, there's a lot of religion. And no doubt, even in the Philippines, Eddie and I've had the privilege of being over there. There's a lot of religion, a lot of Catholicism, as you were mentioning earlier in the video. Tell us a little bit about that and how you're going to go about building those relationships and sharing the gospel, the life-changing message of the gospel with them.
Absolutely. The one thing that we want to point out is that we're going to be in the southern island of Mindanao, where there is more of an agricultural approach. Manila is more of a city, and Mindanao is a little more slow-paced, a little more responsive. We've had the ability to travel back and forth and meet people from different regions. And the one thing that we found, just like in America, is communication is key. If I ask you a question and we may nod our heads, but that does not always mean you understand. So with preaching the gospel and discipling, it's paramount for our mission to make sure that people understand what we're saying. So Visayan is the native language in the Philippines. There's 170 dialects, but English is the business language. So many of our friends and the families we know that are going to actually help us in the endeavor to plant the local church, they speak good English, and they're helping us with the feeding ministries and things like that as we learn the language while we're there. Now, as far as the religion, it is very similar to here, where everyone would say, I'm a Christian, I know about Jesus, but the true gospel about Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is very neglected. There are some Bible preaching churches there, praise the Lord, and we want to actually help them as well, as we've been teaching and training with discipleship, with preaching, to help equip pastors there to strengthen the churches and the work that is there already, and come alongside to have a work that'll really take the gospel even deeper through the relationships and the friendships we've developed these last 4 years.
Amen. Amen. Now, John, over in France, you probably got a lot of agnostic, atheistic thinking, secular humanism permeates that culture. Tell us a little bit about how you're going to go about to connect and build those relationships and share the gospel with the French.
Sure. The spiritual landscape, as I call it in France, is a little different. We have a rise of Islam, with it representing about 10% of the population. And then we have a decline of Catholicism. It's dying. And so all the people basically that are leaving Catholicism are turning to atheism. They're rejecting God in general because of what they've experienced through Catholicism. And so our goal is to be there, to build relationships with these people, and try to destroy the lies that they have, the misunderstandings, misconceptions they have of what Christianity is. Because in France, if I say I'm a Christian, they automatically assume I'm a Catholic. They don't even know of anything else. Dad would always say that in the U.S. we have three cheeses and 365 religions. In France, we have 365 cheeses, but only three religions. And it's really true. The landscape there is basically, if you're a Christian, you're a Catholic, and that means all the lies and all the misunderstanding that comes with that is attached to you. So that's going to be a lot of, education, trying to show people that there is a different route in the Bible, that it is not just what the Catholic Church has been teaching. And that goes through a lot of just relationship-based interactions with these people.
We're going to come back in just a moment, and we're going to ask them to share a specific prayer request that they would like for you as a church to pray with them about. But before we do that, I want to speak to you just for a few minutes about the importance of missions. Why do we do what we do here at Canton Baptist Temple, where we have missionaries to come in, and we take them on for financial and prayer support, and then they go to the respective fields around the world and do what God has called them to do? Why do we do all of this, and what should our response be? I know we're in the midst right now of the COVID-19, the virus crisis that our not only our nation but our world is dealing with. And as I was thinking about the response that we have had to this coronavirus, I thought to myself, compared to the response that the church has to the Great Commission, what are the similarities and what are some areas that we could actually improve on? I thought about three different responses that we have had to the COVID-19 crisis. And I made a comparison between those responses and how we ought to be responding to the need of world evangelism. One of the things that I wrote down was that there has been a sense of urgency. There's been a sense of urgency. We have heard over and over again, even the governor of our Ohio, Governor DeWine, talked about how now is the time to act. We must act now. I've heard that statement over and over again, not only on a national level, but also on a state level. There's a sense of urgency as we deal with this COVID-19 crisis. It's not something that we can put off till next month or next year. It's something that we have to deal with right now. Well, in the same way, I think there ought to be a sense of urgency that we as a church need to have when it comes to evangelizing the world with the gospel. I think about that verse that actually John was on your video earlier, John chapter 4 and verse 35, where Jesus says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Jesus is saying that the need for people to hear about Jesus and to have the opportunity to hear the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel, is not something that can wait till next month or next year. It's something that we've got to do right now. We've got to take the gospel. We've got to share Christ with the world. When I think about the COVID-19 crisis, and I was looking at some stats yesterday, and I saw this incredible stat that literally a person every 17 minutes is dying in New York City of the COVID-19 virus. One person every 17 minutes in New York City. And then I thought to myself, you know, prior to even us dealing with this coronavirus crisis, the truth is that every second, two people die somewhere around the world. Every second. Literally, I could snap my finger and go, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. A dozen people just died somewhere around the world. There is an urgency. We can't just talk about the need that exists around the world. We've got to do something about it. In the words of our governor and even our president, we must act now. Now is the time to act. So there is a sense of urgency. And then I couldn't help but think about the sacrifice that people are making to do their part in order to get beyond this coronavirus crisis. There's been a lot of different sacrifices that are being made. I think specifically of our medical personnel. They are on the front lines. I tell you, my heart goes out to them. They are the heroes as they deal with this virus and the spread of the virus around our country right now. The medical personnel, they're making sacrifices, being away from their family and being there treating the patients and putting their own lives at risk. And then I think about the fact that all of us, to some degree, have made some sacrifices with our comfort and our convenience, and our lifestyles have been somewhat turned upside down on their heads as we've had this stay-at-home order, and we are all making to some degree some sacrifices. And then I heard even yesterday about the CEO of the restaurant, the Texas Roadhouse, how he has said that he is going to give up his whole annual salary, even his bonus, to help to pay the employees that are not being able to work right now with this crisis. Everyone is making a sacrifice. What sacrifice are you willing to make in order that others around the world can hear about Jesus? How that Jesus died for their sins and was buried, and he conquered death and the grave with his victorious resurrection. The gospel, the heart of the gospel message. How are they going to hear unless we make sacrifices to send missionaries around the world? I think about how the Apostle Paul, the great missionary in the Bible, how he made sacrifices. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 has a long list of the sacrifices that he made. He was put in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He learned how to live with hunger. And he was often persecuted in the towns that he went into. Paul was willing to make the sacrifices in order to accomplish the work of world evangelism. I would ask you, especially as a member of Canton Baptist Temple, what sacrifice are you willing to make in order to support missionaries to go to their respective countries and fulfill God's calling upon their lives? Sacrifices have to be made. And so I have sensed the urgency, I've seen the sacrifice, and then also I think about the fact that we have been united in our response against the coronavirus. I mean, literally, this is not something that a few people can get involved in fighting, but we as a nation, everybody has joined together and said, we've got to do our part to get beyond this virus crisis. I think about the fact that if we're going to accomplish world evangelism, we're all going to have to do our part. We're going to have to get together and do our part. I think about 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 that says, "For we are laborers together with God." Together we do the work of evangelism. Throughout this battle against the COVID-19 virus, there have been spotlighted, especially those that have gone on spring break and gone down to the beaches, and they basically said, you know what, we don't care what's going on in the world in the battle against the coronavirus, and we're going to do whatever we want to do. And I thought to myself, you know, in a lot of ways, there's some Christians like that. We're supposed to be actively involved in world evangelism, everybody doing their part, and yet there's always some Christians that are apathetic. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't have time to be involved in world evangelism. I'm not willing to make those sacrifices that need to be made. We've got to understand that if world evangelism is going to be accomplished, there's got to be a sense of urgency. There's got to be the willingness to make the sacrifices that are needed. And then number three, we've got to do this thing together. It's as all of us as members of this church do our part. Maybe we can't do as much as somebody else. I can't do what the medical personnel are doing at the hospitals, but I can do my part. And as we each do our part, then we're able to fulfill the great commission that Christ has given us. As I think about how the numbers continue to climb, literally every hour of people dying of the virus around the world, I think to myself, you know what? Probably the vast majority of those people don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Earlier this morning, whenever I looked up the numbers, it was already over 32,000 people who had died of the COVID-19 virus around the world. And the first thought that came to my mind is, I would guess, and maybe I'm wrong with my stats, but my guess would be that over 90% of those people did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, it brings about again the urgency of doing what we're doing. We've got to win our world to Christ. There's a need because people are dying every second. And without Christ, we know that they spend an eternity in that horrible place called hell. But Jesus died for their sins. He died so that they might have the gift of eternal life. He wants them to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. I'm reminded of the words of Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 and verse 15. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How are they going to believe in Jesus if they've not heard about Jesus and what Jesus has done for them? Well, the rest of the verse says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? We're talking about our missionaries that we have up here on the platform with us. How are the people in the Philippines going to hear about the gospel unless Eddie and Sarah go? How are the people over in France going to hear about the gospel unless John and Priscilla go? And then notice what verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? There's where the local church gets involved.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.